Every year, about 40,000 people in Canada go into sudden cardiac arrest. The vast majority, about 95% of them, will die. That's an awfully grim number. But doctors and researchers are experimenting with new ways of delivering treatment, and they're offering some glimmers of hope. In Ontario, a clinical trial is underway that involves chilling the bodies of those whose hearts have stopped functioning. The hope is that hypothermia will allow doctors to reach beyond the threshold of clinical death and pull patients back to the realm of the living. Freelance documentary producer Tina Pittaway has been looking into this treatment, and she spoke to a man who counts himself among the fortunate 5% of those who survive. Here is her documentary, Back from the Brink.
The fall of 2006 was not kind to Bill McDonald.
And on the 13th of September, I went to bed feeling fine. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was throwing up. I was very ill and didn't know what was wrong.
Bill, who lives on his own, was 66 at the time. He called an ambulance and asked to be taken to St. Michael's Hospital in downtown Toronto.
When they admitted me, they said, you have pancreatitis. That's all I knew about pancreatitis was Brian Mulroney had it.
Bill had 2 months to learn more about pancreatitis, 2 months holed up in a bed in St. Mike's. Finally, he was released, but there was follow-up treatment. A small tube that doctors had inserted in his abdomen would have to be replaced. It's a simple procedure that called for mild sedation.
I had to come here.
Bill came here to St. Mike's twice in the spring of 2007 to have this tube replaced.
Endoscopy unit.
First in April and again in June.
Ferdy was with me, of course. Been friends for years, yeah. He accompanies. He's my attendant.
It was that visit that almost ended Bill's life.
But I don't remember that day. I don't remember coming here that day. But I know that Ferdy told me it was the same as before. We took a taxi down. He picked up the paper. We went upstairs. I went in. Changed my clothes, waited for the intravenous to go in. Everything after that is recounted either by Ferdy, by my son, by Dr. May.
Ferdy Rocha has been a close friend of Bill's since the two met in 1992. He wanted to be with Bill that day.
Yeah, I'm on a waiting room, and after an hour, I heard a cold blue. I don't know what's that cold blue. I saw lots of numbers of doctors and nurses is trying to run, going to the to where Bill's went. So
cold blue means cardiac arrest. The reason they called cold blue was they were moving from the table that the procedure was being done on onto the gurney to take me in the room where you recover. And they discovered I wasn't breathing. That's when they called cold blue. There was no breath. There was no breathing. And the team came and they started to work on me. That's why the commotion. That's why the cardiac team. And up until that point, they hadn't revived. And they didn't know if they could or would.
So I'm worried.
He said maybe 10 or 15 minutes after that, a nurse came out and said, is there anyone here waiting for William McDonald? And he said, I waited for Bill, yeah.
They called me, and they said something happened to my friend. And then later, the doctor talked to me that Bill stopped breathing.
They were just letting him know that that was the circumstances that was happening at the time, and they thought they should let him know.
And he talked to me in a small room, and I asked, try the best to revive my friend.
They said he was totally beside himself. Well, he's my Filipino friend of 15 years, yeah.
And he told me that they're trying because there's numbers of doctors and nurses looking for Bill, and Bill is on ICU already.
What this patient had, he actually developed a stoppage of the heart, or we're not quite certain. His heart was electrically functioning, but it wasn't generating a heartbeat powerful enough to push blood throughout his body. So in this particular case, it's probably true to say that his heart actually stopped. My name is Paul Dorian. I'm a cardiologist at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto and a professor of medicine at the University of Toronto.
8:26. I was out totally for 16 minutes. They took me back after 16 minutes.
When there is no blood flow to any vital organ, the first thing that happens is the organs, if you like, defend themselves against the absence of blood and oxygen by going into, if you like, some kind of suspended animation. They use up less oxygen, and the brain does the same. So the brain tries to do without. Of course, that's a very temporary stopgap measure. No organ, like the brain or other organs, can function without blood flow for more than a few minutes until it starts to develop irreversible damage. This patient was receiving CPR within seconds of it being discovered that he had no pulse.
The Code Blue team, with whatever it is they did and with whatever equipment they had, was able to maintain an oxygen flow to the brain, but it was still a very big concern as really did they maintain that to the brain or was there going to be any brain damage? No one used the word dead. It just said I was not in a living state. I was in a coma for sure, unconscious, and no bodily functions for 16 minutes.
Oh, I feel terrible. It's hard. Yeah, he's my best friend. After I talked to the doctor, that he mentioned to me that that he stopped breathing, and I told him to try the best to revive my friend.
He had left instructions with the doctor in his not perfect English that do the best for my friend, whatever.
I don't know what can I do. I'm thinking maybe he's dead or... And after that, there's a priest waiting for me outside and they want to talk to me too. But the priest wants to talk to me and we pray about Bill and I'm asking him if he's still alive or he's dead, but the priest told me he doesn't know. But instead, he wants me to go with him downstairs. There's a small chapel and he wants me to go there if I want it and we're gonna pray. And instead, I went to St. Michael Cathedral, and I prayed
to the one he knows that can fix things, if they're going to be fixed at all, and that's his God.
And I tell the truth, and I'm asking for help, that if he make a big mistake, I'm asking for forgive him and give him more life, because he's my best friend. I'm saying... I want him here because he helped me a lot, my family. He helped my mom, my dad, my sisters, and especially myself to find a job here in Canada. So that's why he's like my big brother.
While Ferdy was pleading with his God to spare Bill's life, Bill was about to take part in a medical revolution.
Bill went into his arrest.
When Bill's heart stopped beating, Marta Gadich's workday was just beginning.
I always listen for the code blues, just in case it is a cardiac arrest. A lot of the times it is not, but in Bill's case it really was. And within less than an hour we knew about it and we were ready to cool Bill.
Marta Gadich is a research coordinator with the cardiology department at St. Michael's Hospital. Researchers here and at Kingston General Hospital are studying the effectiveness of a new device that is designed to cool patients who have gone into sudden cardiac arrest. It's called the thermosuit. Marta, the suit? To Bill, this was miracle number one.
But this is where God comes into the picture. If you were admitted to St. Michael's or came here by... accident, whatever, before 8 in the morning, or after 5 in the afternoon, or on a Saturday or a Sunday, you would never have had the luck to be in a thermal suit, because she's the only one that knows how to run the thing. And luckily, by the name of God, if I wasn't in St. Michael's Hospital in that situation, there wouldn't have been a Bill McDonald today.
The thermosuit is designed to induce hypothermia, lower the body's core temperature, as soon as possible following cardiac arrest. Doing that, the theory goes, will prevent further damage.
The only way to save the brain, they feel, is to cool the body. And when they put me in intensive care, she hooked me up to the suit. That's miracle number one. Miracle number two, the co-inventor of the suit from the United States was in St. Michael's Hospital that very day.
My name is Bob Schock. I'm the Vice President of Research and Development for Life Recovery Systems. I had actually camped out in a couple of hospitals waiting for patients, and they didn't come. So I thought it was quite a coincidence that one occurred during a two-hour meeting, and I was very anxious to see our device actually applied to one of these patients.
Could you page cardiology fellow to the ICU, please? Thank you.
Bob Schock and a team of more than 100 researchers have been working on the development of the ThermoSuit for more than 10 years. The suit is being used on cardiac arrest patients here in Canada, as well as in the United States and Austria.
We look at the scientific data that's available, and there's a lot to support that this cooling process is most effective if delivered early and quickly. So we have a very rapid cooling device.
Yeah, so we'll go down to 33. We'll try to get it down as quickly as we can.
Patients who suffer cardiac arrest outside of hospital, if they survive the initial insult or disaster and they are revived, the chances of dying in the next 3 weeks or month in hospital is approximately 50%. If patients are cool, the same patients, their chances of dying in that month in hospital is only 30%. So it's a reduction in death rates of 30 to 40%.
The stats are good, but it turns out that doctors, like Dr. Paul Dorian, aren't exactly sure why. And that's because dying is a lot more complicated than we once thought.
The process of cell death is not instantaneous. There is a delayed cell damage that is not evident at the immediate event, which is that cells continue to progressively die for hours and days after the initial event. We don't completely understand the mechanism of this, but it is thought that cells that are injured send signals to the rest of the body that cause the body then to manufacture certain substances which further damage cells.
That's coming down. We're down 36.5.
One theory is that hypothermia interrupts a process called apoptosis. That's a term used to describe a chain of events that ends with the cells essentially committing suicide.
Suffice it to say that the body, in effect, manufactures the seeds of its own destruction. So that in the hours to days following the catastrophic event, the patient seems stable, but their body, if you like, is digesting itself. So the idea of cooling organs or cooling patients after brain injury or spinal cord injury or other kinds of disasters is not new. What's relatively new in the last 5 to 10 years is the increasing understanding that specifically after cardiac arrest, this is a very effective treatment.
Cooling patients quickly, it seems, helps preserve not just the brain, but the lungs and the immune system as well. What's unique about this system is the speed in which it brings down core body temperature.
In the research that was done in the 1990s, the method of cooling was effective, but if you like, very primitive or cumbersome. Patients had ice packs put on their chest, their trunk, their underarms, their groin, their head. They're basically packed in ice.
The ThermoSuit system consists of a pump, which is about the size of a humidifier. It has a reservoir where we fill it with about 25 pounds of ice and some water, making ice water. And there's also a pump which will pump this ice water into the ThermoSuit.
The ThermoSuit is a deceptively simple concept. It's basically like an ice water bath, except that the water is circulated so that as the water warms up in contact with the skin, the heat is transferred from the patient into the water is circulated away. And it's just attached to a pump with some hosing or tubing. There's a very thin film of water which covers the patient. They're lying in a what looks like an air mattress with sides. And then around the patient is circulated the small amount of water. They're covered with a very thin sheet that has tiny little perforations, much as you might have in your garden hose when you have the fine mist that some garden hoses spray out. So the patient's kind of bathed in a mist of ice-cold water, which is continuously being circulated.
Apparently, I was hooked up and running on the suit around 11 in the morning, which would be about 2.5 hours after the original incident. It's crucial that the temperature be dropped 5 degrees, your body temperature be dropped 5 degrees. But in the conventional method of doing that in the tub, that takes 4 hours. The ThermoSuit can do it in 20 or a little bit more minutes, which means the minimal, any injury to the brain can be stopped in that case.
Bill remained cool for about 24 hours. and Bill was kept paralyzed and sedated for the entire time.
They put me in a medically induced coma, and I was also on life support.
After praying for 4 hours at St. Michael's Cathedral, Fruity Roja returned to the hospital. He still didn't know if his best friend had survived.
When the doctor told me that they want me to come back in the afternoon, and I went there, and the doctor told me that that Bill is on ICU, and so we went there.
You know, then the people that worked, that came to visit, that were allowed to get in to see me, and they said my body was swollen and stings on my neck, and I was...
I just saw him in ICU, that he had lots of tube, neck, hand, everywhere. And it's kind of swollen, but they said Bill is in a good condition. He's breathing again, but we are worried about maybe the brain damage or something damaged in his body.
Well, the first day is always an induced coma because we don't want patients to wake up when they're very cold. But we kind of lift them out of their coma after the second day or so.
But after 2 days, he opened a little bit of his eyes. And then after that, he's moving a little bit his finger. That's it. He told me what happened. He doesn't know why he's on this room. And I told him, you've been in the ICU, and your son and your daughter-in-law was here. And we talked to the doctor, and they said they're trying to revive you, giving you medication. So I told him, you're very lucky that you're still alive.
It seems like Bill's outcome is fantastic. He came in, he was able to do all the little tests that we asked him to do, and all he said was that he only lost about 2 weeks of his memory, and that was when he was in hospital. That is pretty normal.
The outcome of patients like our patient and other similar patients is very much better. We've learned a lot. We think we're doing as a community a much better job than we used to. We still have a long way to go, but clearly there are patients that we would have easily given up for dead that we no longer do. There is clearly still hope, in particular if they've been cooled.
Ferdy attended every day to see me in the hospital. He never missed a day.
It's every time I pray, every time I go to the hospital for Bill, I use my thumb mark and I give a cross to his forehead. When I go there, when I leave the hospital, and I don't know, God, he help us a lot.
We have been listening to the documentary Back from the Brink, produced by Tina Pittaway. And Tina joins me in our Toronto studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, that was an incredible story. But tell me, is the thermo suit being used much across the country?
Well, currently the thermo suit is in clinical trials at St. Michael's and at Kingston General, but there are other cooling systems in use. But overall, the medical community has really been quite slow to embrace rapid cooling as a treatment for post-cardiac arrest patients. Currently, only about 10 to 15% of the patients who meet the criteria for cooling are actually receiving the treatment across the country. But there are a number of doctors who are working very hard to change that, including Dr. Paul Dorian.
Now, we heard from him in the documentary.
Right. And he's also joined by Dr. Randy Wax at Mount Sinai here in Toronto. And there's another physician, Dr. Daniel Howes. He's overseeing the clinical trial of the ThermoSuit at Kingston General. 2 years ago, he wrote the guidelines for the use of hypothermia after cardiac arrest, which were published in the Canadian Journal of Emergency Medicine.
Now, the ThermoSuit performed well for Bill McDonald. How was it done in their trials?
Well, I spoke with Dr. Howes in January about about that, and he told me about another back from the brink story, one that even he found extraordinary.
Well, tell us about that one.
Well, this patient was a young man in his early 20s, and he had what's called asphyxial cardiac arrest. What that means is essentially his heart stopped beating because he had a blockage of the windpipe. Now, this happened when the man wasn't in hospital, the way Bill McDonald was. So, of course, it took a little time for the ambulance to arrive and the paramedics to start working on him. They figured he stopped breathing and got no oxygen for close to 20 minutes. Now, on the way to Kingston General, the paramedics had actually managed to get his heart beating again, but when he arrived, his pupils were fixed and dilated, and that usually indicates severe brain injury.
So what happened to him?
Well, okay, this patient, he comes into the emergency, Dr. Howes is there, and he decides to induce hypothermia using the thermosuit. The patient's core body temperature was reduced to 32 to 33 degrees within about 25 minutes. He went through the same process as Bill McDonald. He was kept comatose for a period of time, and then he was warmed up and revived. And amazingly, he not only survived, but he is in fact right now back home with his family with no permanent brain injury. It's really quite extraordinary.
It sounds extraordinary. Are there any other conditions that hypothermia is being used to treat?
Well, the one that made a lot of news last fall was the catastrophic spinal injury to the Buffalo Bills player Kevin Everett. He received that injury on the football field, and he was treated fairly quickly with an injection to the spine of a chilled fluid. Now, his chances of walking again, they pegged at around 10 or 15%, but amazingly, just last week, he walked onto the set of the Oprah Winfrey Show in his first public appearance since that injury. But that was experimental, and there still needs to be a lot of work done in the area of using hypothermia to treat spinal injuries. Hypothermia, as well as being used to treat people who have suffered stroke or catastrophic brain injury, but again, a lot of work remains to be done as far as tested, effective, and accepted treatment protocols for those types of injuries. But as far as proven therapies, post-cardiac arrest cooling has a tremendous amount of research backing it as an effective, proven treatment.
Well, that's good news for people like Bill McDonald. How is he doing, by the way?
Well, Bill really is the picture of health. Like, to see him today, you would never guess at the challenges he has survived in the past couple of years. He's no longer under the care of Dr. Dorian simply because there really is no need for follow-up. He still needs to have that tube in his abdomen replaced every few months. That was where all of his problems really started, of course. But eventually, he'll be free of that as well.
Good news for him, huh?
Absolutely.
Tina Pittaway, thank you.
Thank you.
Tina Pittaway is a freelance documentary producer in Toronto.